Hello, HappyCast listening audience. I'm Brian, one of the co-hosts of the program. As some of you may or may not know, on last week's episode of the show, episode 25, entitled Easy as ABC, there was a point in which the show went off script and a bit of harsh language was used. By one of the hosts.
Which one?
You know, it's hard to remember. Mistakes were made. It was me. Things were said which clash with our mission statement and our general vibe and tone to provide entertainment for all ages. A real clean family show. And I would like to apologize to anyone who was affected negatively by this. It was a shameful mistake, and it shan't happen again. And then on a personal note, I would like to apologize to Mr. Channing Tatum for implying that he would use such crass language to get a free drink at an Applebee's at an airport.
It was at Chili's, and he probably would.
He seems like a real stand-up guy.
Also, it's a little bit my fault, too, because I was editing it, but I don't want to listen to it a whole second time. What happened was I split apart from where we were supposed to end for one segment, and then normally we just talk about random things in the middle. And so I split it apart, clipped something out. It crashed as I tried to fix editing, like audio on the next segment. And usually it comes back right where it was, so I assumed it did this time, but it did not. So it's partly
yes.
Also the computer's fault.
That's true, but I will shoulder a majority of the blame. You know, such... Anyone who knows me can attest that I'm not one to often use such harsh language. It's out of character for me. I was trying to work Blue to elicit laughter from Ben, and I didn't even get that much of a laugh out of it. Like if the joke landed better, it would have been worth it, maybe, or probably not.
You were also being a character, which helped you not be you.
So it really is it's character assassination on my part. Like I said, Channing Tatum.
I think it's Channing Tatum's fault.
Are we picking a fight with Channing Tatum?
Yeah, this is a SmackDown or whatever they call it on wrestling.
He could beat both of us easily.
But could he beat us on our turf?
He could beat
podcasting.
If somehow we multiplied and there was like four of each of us, like one Channing Tatum could beat all of them.
Even in podcasting.
Yes. Channing Tatum is an interesting man with a lot to say, Ben.
He is. He's funny. As you, some of you heard, as I read some of the parts of his AMA out loud.
Yeah. He's one of those guys where, when he first came onto the scene, I was like, yeah, it's dumb meathead guy. But he's actually really, seems genuinely like a nice, sweet guy who's really funny and talented. So,
therefore, we apologize to Channing Tatum.
I'm sorry to the listener. I'm sorry to Channing Tatum. You know, we've been doing the show for 5 years now, and this sort of thing's never happened before, and I can promise you, the listener, it won't happen again.
Well, things like it have happened, just not with words. Lots of stuff that wasn't supposed to be out edited, or was supposed to be edited out, made it into the show.
So the show does not... The podcast... I have a high opinion of the show. It's bigger than Ben. It's bigger than myself. It deserves to have a host that isn't even like a little bit out of it to make this kind of mistake, which is why, effective immediately, I am stepping down as host of the HappyCast.
No, you are not.
No, it's true. I am. I don't know who Ben's going to get to replace me, but... I'm sure they'll be a lot better than myself. I guess I would like to step down and leave the show, but Ben insisted that I go nowhere.
need to do this one, and then I need to eat.
You gotta eat.
It's how I live.
Who do you think you are? You won't get far unless you eat. Checkers. You guys have checkers out there?
Yeah? The game?
No, it's like a restaurant. It's a fast food restaurant.
Like, who doesn't have checkers?
I don't have checkers that's made it out to Arkansas yet. I know you guys are a little behind in some things.
Like, have you ever played Go Fish before? Do you have Go Fish in Georgia?
No, we call it Old Maid here.
That's a different game. Elderly butler. That's what you play.
I do like the idea of there being regional differences for Old Maid.
The Checkers, the restaurant I've heard of, but don't have.
Okay. I know that they have, in some regions, it's called Riley's. That's why.
None of that either.
Okay, cool.
It's like Carl's Jr.
It's a Hardee's. Yeah, that Mario Maker seems really cool.
It does. I can't wait for that to come
out. I want them to put that on the 3DS. That seems like that should be a thing.
Did you hear they're coming out with 100 levels with it, pre-made?
Oh, by Nintendo?
Yeah.
Did Miyamoto make any of them?
I don't know.
That's what I want to see. I want to see them like get some of their in-house people like, yeah, we got...
They might
have. We had Samus make some Mario levels.
Oh, yeah. They had Donkey Kong to make one.
Yeah. Stupid Donkey Kong.
They might, but they're good at making good levels, not like challenge levels.
Yeah. They're also good at fun. Fun levels.
Yeah, I watched Nintendo's Treehouse make a few of those, and I got to play. There were like 40 when I went to Best Buy to check it out. Oh, that
really?
Was awesome.
Was it fun?
It was. That actually might be my happy hour.
I heard they've got a check in place where you make a level, and before you can actually put it out, you have to be able to complete it yourself to make sure that it's possible.
It's
that's nice. Cool.
So people can't just make impossible things. Like, I think they did the same thing with Trials, didn't they?
Trials. I don't remember.
Fusion. I don't know. I didn't make very
I
many.
Never,
made
the, I didn't do anything with that either.
Made the Alan Wake one. Map.
That was really good. Looked cool.
That was fun to make. Oh, wait. Have we started? I'm recording.
Is this the podcast?
I guess it can be.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
We'll
leave
this in.
Sure. Welcome to the show, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Podcast. All right. If this is the show, let's just go ahead and move right into happy hour. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing okay.
I'm Brian. It's happy hour again. Welcome to Happy Hour. It's part of the show where we talk about the thing that is making us most happy for the week. Ben, what's your happy hour pick?
I'm happy this week because I think last weekend I went to Best Buy where they were having a post E3 Nintendo celebration where you get to try out the game Mario Maker where you can make Mario. It's on the Wii U. You can make Mario in 4 styles. Super Mario 1 on the NES, Super Mario 3 on the NES, Super Mario World on the SNES, and the other one, the new Super Mario Bros. Wii World. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's called. It's the Wii U one.
Now, when you change it, is it just like visually, does it change it to that style, or does it have the same physics? Does it feel like Super Mario World?
Yes, it does both of those things. So,
great.
Like Super Mario, the latest one, he can wall jump, the rest can't. In World... I think maybe also in 3, you can pick up turtle shells and throw them, but you can't in the first one, or Koopa shells. And in Super Mario World, you can do that little spin move thing where you break those like yellow blocks that look funny.
All right, with the tail, the Tanaki suit.
Oh no,
what's that called?
That's just 3. In World, you can do like a little jump spin if you're big, and you can break yellow blocks.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes on the physics. The enemies will do different things based on what they're in. It's really cool. You can make crazy courses. You can have a regular world and a sub-world, like for pipes in one level.
Sure. Sub-world, there's just like foot-long sandwiches everywhere.
Oh, man, that would be a nice world. You have to complete it before you beat it. Oh, wait, that's the same thing.
Yep, you're right.
You have to complete it before you post it, so people can't just make literally impossible levels. You have to have the skill if you want to make impossible levels. But once I got to demo, we got to play a couple. A couple were like on rails one sort of, where it's just jump off and stand still, and you go through crazy stuff, barely dodging things, and then you finish the level. Like a roller coaster type thing. That was pretty cool.
Seems cool.
There were some really hard levels. You can do different themes of like just overworld,
the dark underground area. You can do castle. You can do flying airship.
When you say castle, like you turn Mario into Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, and he has to solve crimes by reading books.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, what about Bowser though? Bowser's castle. Let's see. Yeah, underwater section you can do. Pretty sure this is one I'm forgetting. Oh, Ghost House is one you can do. It seems really cool. You can change the time. You can change if the level scrolls. You can do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
You can change power-ups. You can make giant enemies. You can stack enemies. You can make the bullet bill cannons. Instead of shooting bullet bills, you can have them shoot coins or power-ups or Goombas. You can make giant Goombas that act differently. You can have a giant Bowser and Bowser Jr. both in the game. The little Bowser clown car you can fly around in while you have a fire flower and a Buzzy Beetle helmet on your head. It's crazy. But, yeah.
It seems really cool. I mean, there have been level editors before, but this one, from what I've seen, seems really accessible and easy to use and, like, surprisingly robust because it appears like you could, if you wanted to, you know, be a crazy person, like, you could, like, recreate the entire, like, Mario 3 within the level editor, but then you can also do things that are impossible in that game, so.
I bet you someone definitely will do that, or have, like, different versions of it.
Sure, like a Mario 3 remix.
Yeah, someone's gonna do that. I bet they'll have their whole profile just for that. Like, I watched a Nintendo Treehouse, which is a thing they do at E3, where they just kind of, like, a few people who they hire play it live and kind of demo it for about 30 minutes. Well, I saw one of them during E3 where Miyamoto was there, and so was another guy who was on his team whose name I don't know because he's not Miyamoto. But they had, like, the level 1-1. It looked just like it, except they had, like, a ring of ghosts come out of one of the coin blocks instead of a mushroom and just crazy stuff early on. It was cool.
Definitely. Seems almost too good. Like, it feels like the last Mario game that needs to exist ever. That's what it feels like.
It does, until they come up with, like, new things you can do. If they ever made a 3D one, which would be very hard, that would be crazy.
Like a Mario Galaxy Maker?
Yeah, like,
make your own planets.
It has Galaxy, it has Sunshine, it has 64, all combined.
Sunshine. Okay, all right. Sounds neat. I don't own a Wii U, but I would consider getting one just to check that out.
It is cool. Check it out. But that was the line, and it was kind of funny. Most of the people in front of us were kids trying to play it, and I was thinking, yeah, here I go. I want to, like, kick butt. I went through and, like, got to the levels better than they did because those are just children.
Kids.
Those children thought they were so good at Mario. But on the way, well, in the waiting line.
Were they not good? Kids are really good at games.
They were pretty good, but they weren't me good. I had years of practice over them in Marioing.
You're like, boy, I've been Marioing before you was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Exactly. That's how I talk. I like pushed them around. I trash-talked their face. I'm like, yeah, you weren't even born when the first Mario game came out. Neither was I, but I was closer.
Yep. Yeah, same. I don't think I was born either. Came out in like 85, 86?
Yeah, I think 86, maybe.
Yeah, so it's older than I am.
I might have been alive during 3, but I know I was during World. And definitely during the latest one. Ah, so cool, though.
Yeah, sounds real, real neat, man.
But in the line, there was a surprise I didn't know was going to be at Best Buy. They had that new Zelda game on the 3DS, like Triforce Heroes or something like that. I don't know what it's called exactly. But
it's like a multiplayer Zelda.
Yeah, you play as like three little Links, and you get different costumes, different colors, and you kind of have to work together to get through puzzles. You have to lift each other up, like, and you can stack up like in a totem and do stuff. And, well, the new today couldn't make it because she was too busy having fun with friends because she has them. And so she couldn't go. She went to see Jurassic World again, I think. So some random guy in line behind us played with us. And we almost won.
Nice.
He was not a child.
He was an old man also?
Well, he wasn't old. I'm not old.
Was he a solo old man?
He was a solo man. He was about, like, I guess maybe my age.
So pretty old.
Way old.
Pretty old.
That was really cool. And then while we were waiting in line, we talked to the Nintendo rep, who we saw 2 years ago last time we went to a Best Buy E3 event because they had Donkey Kong Country Winter Breeze or Winter Freeze or something like that. Tropical Freeze. They had that. They had Mario Kart 8 and Super Mario World Wii U. And so she recognized us, and we recognized her. And we just talked to her for a while. We asked her, like, how she became a Nintendo rep. Then she showed us pictures of a Nintendo party she got to go to where everyone dressed up as, like, Smash Bros. Characters.
Oh, wow. Was Mario there?
I can't remember if there's a Mario. Some guy was dressed as Donkey Kong.
So was the real Mario there?
Oh, the real Mario? Oh, no, no. No, he's on, like, I think he's in hospice.
Oh, what?
He's old.
He's not that old. 85.
He might have been in his 40s when he started.
Still not that old. That's still, you know.
But yeah, but look what
especially
he does.
Modern.
The amount of times that he dies and gets critically injured.
Sure. I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear about Mario. Hope he does well soon.
Yeah. Get well,
or
Mario.
Gets well. Not does well. Hope you do well.
Yeah, that was cool. And she said that almost all the females dressed up as Wii Fit Trainer because she was the easiest one to dress as since she's the most human. And that was cool. And she told us like how she became a Nintendo rep. It was all neat.
It does sound cool.
And we got a button. The little square button that's like Mario 30th anniversary.
Oh, wow. 30 years.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I did that was interesting. Other than that, I've just been playing Batman all week. So
okay. I played a little bit, but would like to spend more time with Batman.
And when you beat it, it can be in our warp zone segment.
I would like to spend more time with Batman.
Just hanging out in the Batcave.
You know, just
open
chilling.
A bat wine cooler.
Maybe go hang out at his mansion and watch a hockey game.
Ooh,
just
on his bat TV?
Yes, you know, hanging out and do what Batman does, that kind of thing.
That's not what Batman do.
Oh.
If you're hanging out with Batman, you'll probably be either sleeping or punching things a lot. Like training dummies. And like those dummies that are like sticks with more sticks sticking out of them.
Right, yeah.
I don't know what those are, but those things. Stick dummies.
Your Nintendo story reminded me of a mini Bummer Patrol that I'll share real quick because it's thematically similar.
Okay.
Father's Day, I went to visit family. No, it's not my Bummer Patrol. Like, Mario's my dad, and I'm real sad about it.
That'd be awesome.
No, he's not doing well. I don't know if you've heard.
Oh, other than that part, you'd be like a millionaire at least.
True, yeah. Get that Mario money.
Yeah.
Have a lot of coin. Like, he just leaves you.
You wouldn't, though. Every time he gets 100, it disappears.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he keeps dying and coming back to life. Like, oh, crap, it's gone again. So you can never have more than $1 if their coins are equal to our penny.
Are they? Is he collecting pennies?
I want to Google what the exchange rate is for the Mushroom Kingdom. Yeah.
Find the Mushroom Kingdom U.S. currency exchange rate. I'd like to know.
This is so dumb. All right, tell your story while I do that.
There's family, and a distant relative was there. It's like 10 years old. He's playing an Xbox. He's playing Call of Duty Black Ops 2. It's a game in which you shoot dudes in the head until they die. And he's like, will you help me? Will you play this? And I said, no, I don't. I'm not really into it. It's not my thing. I've never played this game before, so I can't probably help you. He's like, what do you play? And I was like, I mostly shooting games. Halo is kind of my thing. He's like, oh, Halo's dumb. I hate Halo. I'm like, what are you talking about? Halo's great. He's like, Halo's game for old men. I'm like, well, I'm an old man.
Why is it for old men?
I'm like, it's fine. I don't know, kids hate Halo, I guess. I'm like, yeah, I agree. It is. But then he's like, it looks bad. I'm like, it doesn't look bad. It looks really good. What are you? It's a visually, like, there's nothing wrong with the way it looks. Like, Call of Duty looks better than Halo. And then I found myself into like in a shouting match with a child about what game looks better. And I left feeling real bad about myself.
Well, I'm defending your side. That is dumb.
I brought up video. I brought up video, but like, fine. If you want to have that discussion, it's fine. I'm like, yeah, this is for kids. The kids love the Call of Duty. That's fine. This is my thing. It's different. But then he's like, Halo looks dumb. Call of Duty looks better. I brought up a video on the TV. Like, look at this. Look how good this. It's got color. I tried to explain to him, like, are we talking like it looks better in terms of fidelity or like art direction? Because Halo looks really well designed. Call of Duty's really drab and everything's gray. There's no joy to the world.
It's not joy to the world.
But after like 5 minutes of that, I'm like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't. I should go. I should leave now.
Is that why you left?
Oh, you know, it's time for me to leave anyway. But
how
that was
old was
age,
this kid?
like 10.
What?
It was a fact.
Ah.
Kids today have no respect. No respect, I tell you.
That is ridiculous. They both games do look good. I agree with that.
I told him. Well, then you know, it kind of escalated to the point where I was like, Call of Duty looks like somebody rubbed garbage in my eyes.
Okay,
yeah, I might have said something like that.
That one's less true. They both look nice, but I say Halo does look nicer because it's not all one color.
It became, yeah. No, it like I said, it devolved into a petty shouting match about dumb things. Like, my multi-billion-dollar corporation made a better game than your multi-million-dollar corporation. That's like, I don't know. Let's go outside. I don't know. Let's go look at a tree. I don't know. Let's reevaluate where we're standing in the world.
Wow. Okay, so exchange rate news.
Okay.
A website that I didn't click, says the site estimates, Movoto.com, that each coin is worth $508,829.16.
Wow. Okay. So a couple of coins, I'd be pretty much set for life.
Yeah. I think one coin, you'd be pretty okay.
Yeah, I'd burn through that in a weekend.
Where would you spend $500,000 in one weekend?
Oh, that's a story for a different day, Ben. I can't talk about it right now, but yes, I have plans. I have a $500,000 plan.
Ooh. Just arrive at the number. They did a comparison of the size of the coin compared to Mario.
Okay, so they're assuming that the coin is solid gold. Is that?
Yeah, I think so. It says using real-world Mario portrayer Bob Hoskins as an analog, each coin would be roughly 18 inches across in our world. All right, there you go. Now we know. And there's a website where you can figure out a USD amount to convert to coins.
Huh. Wow. Not too bad. I'm glad that information is actually out there, available on the internet.
Well, someone figured out the cost of Princess Peach's castle, comparing it to, like, castles in Sweden or something like that.
Yep, that's something a crazy person would do with their time.
Oh, you can also figure out how much money an Extra Life would cost, or the Death Star, the White House, Neverland Ranch, I think in Mario coins.
I always find it really weird when people that are very intelligent and well-trained spend their time doing this. I saw, I might have talked about it on a previous show, which I apologize. I saw, like, after Furious 7 came out, there was a story, like, we asked a theoretical physicist if the building-to-building car jump in Furious 7 could really work. I was like, really? Like, shouldn't he be working on more important things?
Oh, well, there's always a more important thing, I guess. They have to do something in their downtime. Like, oh, there was something else like that. Oh, yeah. Someone calculated how long the runway is in Furious 6?
yeah, Fast Furious 6.
It's way longer than any real-life runway.
Yeah, no, I agree. Definitely.
It was like 27 miles or something like that. The longest, I think, might have been like 13.
Didn't we decide it was a giant roundabout?
Oh, yeah, that's what I liked about it. Because if it's giant enough, it'll be hard to tell you're turning very much. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it is. It's just like a 27-mile circle.
Yep, that's it.
Well, what's your happy hour this week?
Right, yeah, I'll be brief with mine. I finally, this is because we're kind of treading familiar territory. I finally went to my Weird Al concert last week on Saturday.
Yes, you did.
It was a lot of fun. It was an outdoor venue. Weather was a little bit warm, but enjoyable. Weird Al is doing very well for himself these days because I've realized this is my fourth time seeing him. And every time I buy tickets to see him again, I end up paying more money for a seat that's not quite as good. So good on him for, you know, having this kind of late career resurgence.
Yeah, he's doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it when, you know, I could get better seats. But, you know, it's fine. He deserves all the success in the world. It
I thought
was a great
you were
show.
Say that how he looks good still.
Yeah, he looks ridiculously great for his age because he's like pushing 60.
Wow. Yeah, he looks not very different other than, like, I guess hair and glasses and mustache. But age-wise, not very different.
Do you want to guess how old he is exactly? I'm going to say 57.
I want to say 94.
Siri, how old is Weird Al Yankovic?
Is 55.
Oh.
Thank you, Siri. Yeah, 55. So he looks incredible. I think, you know, he just takes care of himself. He's a vegan. I'm sure that's a factor. He doesn't
I didn't know he went
in
full
his body.
Vegan.
Yeah, he went full vegan.
Oh, wow. I knew about the Tarian. And yeah, still, he's vegetarian. He's okay with a chicken pot pie song.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Although that was before he went vegetarian.
I bet he's still okay with it, though, because it's just a song. It's not a song saying, hey, everybody, eat meat.
I mean, you know, I feel like he's probably okay with people eating meat. It's like a personal choice for him.
Yeah, unlike Paul McCartney. I'm going to diss Paul McCartney
publicly. Oh, man, taking Paul McCartney down a peg.
Take that, McCartney.
I just hope nothing happens to Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I'll feel really bad. Oh, like a couple weeks ago when you talked about, who was it? And they died. I don't remember.
Wow, I don't recall. I must have blocked it from my memory.
Oh, wait. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, but it was a great show. You want to talk? I mean, I'd like to talk a few short specifics. So if anyone has tickets and wants to see the show unspoiled, just jump ahead just 2 minutes. The opening was great. It started out with Tacky. Went full screen. I thought it was the music video at first because he's outside walking down the street singing. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, it's like the end of the video. But then I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't look like L.A. There's some weird trees going down the street. And then he turns through a parking lot. I'm like, oh, man, he's outside the venue. So he performs the first number walking through the parking lot. And then he comes around. I'm like, oh, that's where we came in. And I turn around. He's coming back down through the venue, down through the crowd. There are people coming to their seats late, getting out of the way, like, oh, man.
That sounds
Weird
awesome.
Al's here.
Yeah, for us, he started in a kitchen backstage. And then he walked down some side aisles. He got to see some ushers who he kind of sung at for a second as he walked by. Door blockers. Some people who were late to the show were still standing in the hallway, so he got to walk right by them. Megan and Caitlin were in the bathroom that he passed by just a few minutes before he passed by it for the song. I think they were a little bit disappointed that they weren't late for the show. Because they could open the door and, oh, yep, there he is.
Oh, now we're in front of the whole venue. Did he walk by anybody that came in the show later? Like, he walked by, for us, the Smells Like Nirvana cheerleaders.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, he did that for us, too. I forgot about that. Do you think it's the same cheerleaders every year? Like, do they get new ones every year and they travel around with them? Or does he get, local ones to do it?
I can knowledgeably answer this question because I've researched it. I didn't research it.
You just
reading,
Googled Weird Al cheerleader to see what you could find.
Like people do. No, I was like, he used to do a weekly Q&A thing on his website called Ask Al.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the things. And he said that it's actually every venue they put an ad out, or they, talk to art school or something. They just find new cheerleaders for every city.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. It does seem cool. I mean, it seems like a cool story to tell. It's like, I was a cheerleader for the Weird Al concert when he came through Atlanta. It's like, oh, man. It's a cool story to tell.
Is that one of those Jeopardy stories?
Yeah, exactly. It seems like something you tell Alex Trebek. If I'm ever on Jeopardy, I'm just going to lie and say that I was one of the It Smells Like Rod cheerleaders. That was me.
Why?
Because I like lying.
Yeah,
I
but
know.
No.
Yep. But it was great. Great as always. Great showman. They did the big build up for Eat It, because they show a lot of video clips of Jeopardy, I'll take Eat It for $1,200, Alec, and then a bunch of pop culture references. It's like, okay, I've seen the show enough. I know this is where he comes out and does Eat It. And people lose their mind because that's one of his bigger hits. But he came out and then he did this really cool unplugged acoustic version of Eat It.
Yeah.
And I looked around and people didn't really know what to make of it. They're like, well, okay, all right. And they're kind of into it. And then it became a medley of different songs, acoustic performances. I Lost in Jeopardy, I Love Rocky Road, a bunch of older songs. And it was really cool. It's probably the highlight of the show for me.
I loved that. That was a very nice surprise. And let's see, there's something else cool. Oh, the cell phones. Was that new? We all have cell phones.
Well, it's been in the video package for a long time, where, he's interviewed, one of his fake interviews with the lead singer of R.E.M.
Oh, yeah.
That's where That's where he set it up. Like, well, come on, let's do a song and then say something profound. It's just him saying, like, I mean, we all have cell phones, so come on, let's get real. And he's like, that's incredible. And then he does like a song version of it, and you know, it's funny. And then, like, that's the new encore as he comes out. It's great because he comes out like full Jedi robe, and the stormtroopers are there, and people are like, yeah. And he starts singing the cell phone song, and he's like, come on, everybody, if you have a cell phone, hold it up in the air. And I look around, just like 1,000 cell phones.
Did you have any annoying people at yours?
No, we were all really cool and well-behaved, and everybody had a great time.
Oh, lucky. I remember last time, not the time this year, but the time before that, someone spilled beer on Caitlin, / the new today.
Yep, that's not a fun story.
I thought it was hilarious.
You thought it was funny.
It wasn't
Did he apologize?
A lot, I
Did she
think
buy
so.
Him a new beer?
I don't think it was her fault.
Okay. I thought she slapped it out of his hand.
No. That sounds like her, but that's not what it was.
Okay. All right.
He just walked by and spilled some on her, and I thought it was so funny.
Oh, bummer.
I forgot about it until this time when she mentioned it.
She's like, hey, remember the beer thing? And then you just laughed
Yeah.
Good times. Yeah, I highly recommend it. If you have the opportunity to see Weird Al in concert, it's a great show, well worth the price of admission. I've never been to any other musical concerts, but I kind of get the vibe that other shows, the artist might not have such high showmanship, and that the audience might not be so, like, cool and well-behaved.
I could say that's kind of true, because in college, they were giving away free tickets to a Foo Fighter concert, which I know Neil Ornsfield just went to go see.
No, he didn't. They had to cancel it.
Oh, did they? Oh, because of his leg? Broken leg?
Because of the leg. Yeah. Oh. I know that's his Bummer Patrol.
Oh, man. I didn't know that. Well, I got to see them. I didn't really I heard of them. I did not know anything they sang or played or anything like that. So it was cool to see them play and everything, but they weren't Weird Al. They didn't, like, run out in the audience and sing on people's faces. I like his new suit for Wanna Be Your Lover.
Yeah, good suit for that. The new suit for Performing This Way is really great.
Yeah. Oh, Weird Al, he's the best.
I appreciate the effort he puts into every new tour, kind of like, you know, rebuilding the show from the ground up, because it's such a just well-packaged 2 hours that he could easily get away with, like, doing the same thing every year, but the changes really, really keep it interesting.
And the new clips that he shows in between clothing changes. That was fun.
Yeah, those are great. It's almost kind of a shame because he's so prolific in popular culture that there are a lot of really good clips that get cut every year. Like, I wish there were more UHF clips than there were. I miss the Wheel of Fish. And they left out my favorite How I Met Your Mother Weird Al joke in favor of another one that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, the one where you actually see him?
Yeah, that's
that one's good.
Where Ted claims that he actually gave Weird Al the idea for, like, a surgeon. That's it. That's the end of my happy hour. Weird Al Yankovic, hashtag dig it. Great guy. National treasure. Hashtag check it out. Hashtag using hashtags outside Twitter. Hashtag I'm sorry.
Well, there we go.
Yep. So that concludes happy hour. We're gonna take a quick break and then pick it up in the Bummer Patrol. Hey guys, this episode of Happy Cast is brought to you by the new B&B Podcasting Network. If you like Happy Cast, then check out these other great shows. There's The Whisper Cast, Heroes Hogan's, Is This a Hat? The complete archive of Easy as ABC, hosted by the late Chad Snyder, Crazy Dimitri's Friends Zone, which is a podcast about friends, and Regis's living room game show, Happy Time Hour. So be sure to check that out. If you like this show, you know, go to our podcasting website, network website, B&B Podcasting. You can give donations there or, you know, download all the other great podcasts. let's get back to the show. Welcome, everybody, to the Bummer Patrol.
Bum.
Did you say bum?
Like, patrol. I'm not British. I can say bum without it being weird.
Okay, all right. Good, fair enough. Good point. So what's your bummer patrol, Ben?
My bummer patrol is cats using the bathroom.
Would you prefer cats just never use the bathroom?
I want someone to make a cat that does not use the bathroom, but is alive.
But where does it all go?
It doesn't even have to eat. It's just like a self-sufficient cat. Maybe it's like a plant cat. So like it eats carbon dioxide and it all that comes out, it just like farts out oxygen. I want one of those.
Does seem better for the environment.
Yeah, come on, cats. Well, because, all right, so we have a little litter box. We have a kitten-sized litter box. Enigma was an outside cat. Well, Enigma would always wake us up about 4 or 5 hours into our sleep because she had to use the bathroom. So we got tired of that, and we're hoping she would just learn what the litter box is. And she did. But since there's a kitten-sized litter box, she gets litter everywhere when she tries to cover it up. Everywhere. It's all over the floor in the bathroom. It's when you get out of the shower, it's like stepping into a beach. Except, well, not that crazy. That'd be a lot of litter at once.
Yeah, it's insane.
Well, teaching the kittens to use it is also very difficult. The website I read, or the few several websites I read, said that the mommy cat would teach the baby cats. She has barely done that. So, yeah.
So you're criticizing your cat's parenting skills.
Yes, that too. Well, all right. So some cat.
Should we call the cat equivalent of defects?
What's defax?
What is defects? It's oh, hey, I've got a message. What you know, it's that child services thing,
I thought that
right?
was just CPS. Never heard of
What's
defax.
UPS?
No, DP. Wait, CPS, Child Protective Services.
Huh. All right, let me look this up. Continue.
Well, so the cats, some of them like to poop on the bath mat, which is not good if you have to use a bathroom in the middle of the night and there's tiny poops. We did all the stuff it says. We're like, it says to, if you catch them about to do it or having just done it, put them immediately in the litter box. That hasn't seemed to have been working so far.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
what?
All right. Here's
Yeah.
an update. DPS. DPAS is
Defi?
DP. Yeah, that's how I pronounce
Letter
D.
fee?
Letter fee. DFCS.
Okay.
Division of Child. Sorry. Division of Family and Child Services. And you know, in school, it's fun, Georgia. Quirk. I just heard people refer to it as DFAS.
DFAS?
Yeah, DFAS.
Okay.
D, which I just don't understand what that means, but it's a weird abbreviation.
Yeah, I've only ever heard of CPS,
What's okay?
Child Protective Services, which I think is the same thing. Yours is just has a D in it for some reason. But yeah, so they all right, so they have two different beds. And they end up doing stuff like they'll poo and pee in both of those beds. They don't use the beds for sleeping ever. So I'm getting kind of tired of it. They're not learning very well. Or one of them knows. One of the three kittens. I know it also says if you have like one cat, you need two litter boxes. If you have two cats, you need three. So we need five litter boxes. There is no room for five litter boxes in here.
Just a room of all litter
We're
boxes.
going to get a second one, a adult cat sized one, because so Nigma can use it, and will hopefully spread less sand everywhere, or litter, whatever. And maybe then the other cats will learn how to use it, but I don't know. It's driving me crazy. So, cat emissions. That's my bummer patrol.
Cat
Cat
emissions.
emissions. Really need to regulate
Okay.
those cat emissions.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a real bummer. Every year on my birthday, I have to take my truck up to pass the cat emissions in order to get a new
Yeah.
tag. Ah, man.
Is that how many cats it emits?
Yep, yeah. My truck produces cats. That's why there's so many of them.
We have a real stray cat problem over there in Atlanta.
We really do. Honestly, we truly do.
This neighborhood does, and that's where Enigma came from.
One of those,
Anyway.
see, one of those street cats. That's why she was ill prepared for motherhood. It's not her fault.
She didn't have education.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll take her into the cat Planned Parenthood to learn more.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if that's not a thing, you should start it. You could make it a thing.
Well, I think they do, and it's just vets.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know if there's, like, a cat, like, chiropractor, or, like, a cat, like, foot doctor, a cat optometrist. Write in your cat doctor combinations.
Cat podiatrist. Yeah, okay, so I'm really hung up on this DFACS thing. Division Family Child Services, DFCS, somehow DFACS is slang for that. So.
Oh.
So anyway, my bummer patrol is I went to the theater the other day, about a week ago, and saw the new Pixar film Inside Out.
Oh, was it good?
It's very good. I will talk about it on a future podcast, perhaps. But it was very, very well made. I might have cried.
I'm excited. Was it as sad as the start of Up? I hated that. How sad that was.
No, it didn't really reach that level.
Oh, good.
But it's still pretty great. Up is a real problem because it's like a real starting the show with a showstopper. There was no coming back from that. The rest of the movie was kind of a letdown for me after that emotionally brutal opening.
Yeah, that was sad.
I'm like, oh, great, now he's with a kid and a talking dog, whatever. Do you expect me to forget what just happened in the opening of this movie?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
But I was shocked when I went to purchase my ticket, Ben, yes, at the same theater I've been going to for years, that for the first time in I can't remember how long, the prices had changed.
The first time in forever?
The first time in forever. Because tickets used to be $10 for a matinee, $12 for a regular show. And I was at a late showing. And my ticket cost $12.08.
What?
I know.
No way.
I know. Mostly, I'm just annoyed that they raised it only 8 cents. I would prefer it to be a quarter. Yeah. You know, just for bookkeeping purposes, it would be a lot cleaner and easier to keep up with.
That's true.
So I'm kind of mostly just confused. I guess they needed increased revenue, and they figured if we could get an extra 8 cents per ticket, this is the extra money that would come in, and that would cover this cost and that cost. So I dealt with it until I found out that they didn't just change the regular showing. They changed the matinee prices as well.
To what?
Well, they used to cost $10, but now a matinee ticket will cost you $9.94.
Wait, it went down?
They raised the regular ticket 8 cents and then lowered the matinee by 6 cents. So I'm just – it's none of it makes sense. It doesn't make any – I guess
– Sense?
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I guess I'm mostly annoyed at it from just like a business perspective. Like who made this choice? And like, well, I don't understand. Like, if you like, why not just raise them both a nickel?
Yeah, I guess someone did some kind of crazy like spreadsheet math and formulas to find out. Oh, if we get the same numbers we're getting now, we'll get more money while looking like we cut prices.
Some kind of mathematic wizard.
Yeah. Well, prices here are nice. I think it's like $8.25 or $8.50 for an evening show, maybe. Maybe $9.25. I think it might be as high as it goes. I'm not sure the prices exactly.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I mean, sure, ticket movie prices go up. I would have been fine with that. But it seems like they're trying to pull the wool over my eyes. I feel like it's deceptive. Like, all right.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like that there, but at least here, there's no tax added on to movie prices.
No, yeah, that's how it is here.
But the tax is already in it.
Which is why it makes it such a pain now, because yeah. I used to just walk up with like a handful of bills, like, give me one ticket to the Star Wars. And now like, I have to get change back or have to have change on me.
That's the worst. You should start boycotting.
It's literally the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone. So anyway, that's it. You know, just a slight change in movie prices, which I guess if you think about it, my life's going pretty well if that's the only thing I really have to complain about at the moment.
Well, I think it's not just that. There are a lot of things to complain about, but we've already complained about them on the show.
No, like actually, my life's really great. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel here. I have nothing to complain about.
Not the weather.
No, it's beautiful. I
What?
lo I love just walking outside and then just turning into a puddle of sweat. That's great.
Walk outside and feel like you walked into, I guess, more water. You're just
Sure, yeah.
underwater already, except it's hot somehow.
I love that the air conditioning in my truck doesn't work, so when I get to
Oh,
my truck, it's
man.
actually even hotter.
That sounds fun.
Here's a little mini Bummer Patrol that pertains to this. Maybe I should save it for next week since I have nothing to complain about. But I've got my good summer tan going, which means that the left arm that's by the driver window is really dark, and then my other arm is really pasty.
Yeah. You just need to sit backwards from now on while you drive to even it
Okay.
out.
So I just drive in reverse? Does that solve the
Oh,
problem?
no. Well, I think it depends which way. Like, no. I think just partly the time of the day it is, but sit backwards in the seat and to turn your head backwards so you can see.
What if I just start driving my lorry around?
Well, that would work, I guess.
It's
But do you have any lorries?
got the driver's side on the right.
Those are street legal here as long as you get the cat emissions checked.
I've got a British time machine. It's a DeLorean.
Is it also a hotel?
That's a little weak.
The DeLorean.
Yeah, the DeLorean.
There's
Yes,
probably some
so
way to make that into a dumb joke, but we've
it's
both
weak.
failed at it.
It's weak wordplay where we failed. Okay, that's it though. Bumper Patrol over. Let's move forward to Minute Work. I brought everyone here into the Minute Work segment to talk to you about my new ongoing career.
Ah, what is
It's
it?
a change in my profession.
What is the
I am
segment?
now. Oh, the segment, Minute Work. We just talk about like work stuff, like things we get paid for, just occupations. I think we did it once before, and then we're bringing it back just because it serves our purpose now.
Finally, we have to make excuses. That's where new segments usually come from. I want to talk about this. All right, let's do a segment about this then. Let's come up with a dumb name.
Let's make a segment for it. Yeah, so we're actually getting more mileage out of this one, which is always fun.
Yeah.
But my new job, Ben. I'm a professional juror now. I juror all the time. Is that the
Juror?
proper verb? Juror.
Yeah, I will allow it.
Okay, thank you, Judge.
I'm not goat judge.
Yep. So I'm gonna be a juror forever. That's my new job. It's pretty sweet. I get paid $35 a day.
Wow.
So that's enough to live like a king.
That's like 350 in a month.
Yep. That math, nope, nah, it doesn't quite check out.
It does not. Well, it depends how short a month is. If you're using like a different type of calendar, it only has 10-day months.
Oh yes, it's 10-day months.
But you get paid no matter how short or long the day is, right?
Yeah, $35 a day, flat.
Okay. But oh,
Usually,
that counts overtime, I guess.
yeah, if we had to stay long, yeah, it's $35. But days usually run from 9 to 5,
That's pretty.
with a nice lengthy hour and a half lunch break.
Wow.
So I like to go get a lot of stuff done in my lunch break. I'll go to, the bank. I'll go to a local drive-through, get a couple of hot dogs with coleslaw on them because that's how we do it here. I'll get a haircut, go to the comic book shop, and then come back, and I'll still have to sit around 30 minutes before the rest of the jury comes back.
Does anyone notice, like, hey, wait, isn't your hair different now?
Yeah, they're like, hey, nice haircut. I'm like, yeah, thanks.
Did that during the break. Wow. So
Knocked out.
what do you juror?
I can't really talk about it.
Y
It's,
you could, but he
I
might get to
sh
leave prison if he's guilty. Or he might be okay
Yeah.
if he's innocent.
Yep, it's true. Who
Either
knows?
way, it might be a
I yeah.
mistrial.
We're still, it would be a mistrial. We're still kind of hearing the case out. I can't talk about specifics as of yet. Maybe I'll talk about it in the future, but generalities. Let's talk about the general experience of jury duty. I'm really excited. I'm honored to be called upon to perform this civic duty. I'm happy to oblige. So here's how it works, Ben. You haven't had the pleasure of serving on a jury, have you?
No, but I have been hoping for it someday.
Yeah, I hope you get it. It's a lot of fun.
I used to watch a lot of court TV, and not just like the weird stuff. I would watch like the trials.
I thought that's what you're talking about. You said the weird stuff.
Oh no, they have like weird programming now.
Like, it's not even Court TV anymore. It's True TV.
Yeah, that made me mad. I watched it when they still did court stuff.
Okay, that's where Ghost Judge is.
Yeah, well, he's on Boo TV.
Oh right, sorry, it's a weird little offshoot.
Yeah, it's like how there's like Disney and there's Boomerang.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that Cartoon Network?
Yeah, that is Cartoon Network.
Well, Cartoon Network has Boomerang, an offshoot channel. True TV has Boo TV that only runs Ghost Judge all year round.
All day, every day.
So, jury.
Yep. Okay, so I received a jury summons in the mail roughly 1 month before I was called to serve. They say, hey, be here at the courthouse this day, Monday morning, 8:30 a.m.
What if so you had to be in court that day for an unrelated matter?
You could, there was like a list of reasons, like if you need to be excused from jury duty, here's reasons why you can be excused and this is how you go about it. But I didn't want to be excused. I was good to go. So I just ignored that part of the letter.
Okay.
But, you get there, you go to the courthouse, go through the metal detector, take everything out of your pocket, take your belt off because that's how courthouses work. Apparently.
Oh yeah. I forgot about those.
Yep. So you go and sit in this giant room. You sign in, turn in your summons, and if I have to be somewhere important, I generally like to show up about 45 minutes early, just to be safe. So I'm one of the first people there in this big empty room, and eventually it kind of fills in, and I would estimate that there were about 200 of us total.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it got room. That big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of us. Big, big room. And then a judge came in and talked to us, like, hey, welcome to jury duty. This is why it's important. I'm so glad you showed up. If you didn't, we'd have to come drag you in handcuffs.
Oh, wow. This is weird. I'm imagining this whole thing as if it's like the tryouts for American Idol. Like, there are 200 of you in line. Only 12 will move on to the final round.
Well, it depends on how many cases they're actually doing. He said it was a light week, so it's like it's a good week for you guys to be called upon because we don't have a lot of trials. A lot of them settled already, so we don't need that many jurors. So
I thought like now. You just get 12 and then they call in another 200.
No. They're selecting several juries out of this group.
Are you the best juror?
Not several, but at least I think we have the best case.
It'll be a jury battle at the end, right?
Yeah, jury versus jury.
It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Jury Maguire. It's about a jury that you have to show money to. The human head weighs 8 pounds.
Ugh. Showing money to a jury is probably bribery, unless it's
you're right.
Unless it's evidence from the court.
Oh, of course. But they're like, okay, so we're gonna call names. And we're gonna divide you guys into sections, in different groups. And I was like the seventh name of the first group. I was like the seventh name called. Like, oh, come this way. And they split us up into about 40 of us, 40 to 50. And they're like, okay, we're taking you to this court. You're the jury pool for this case. Okay, it's very exciting. So we get there. We sit in the courtroom. You see the judge, both attorneys and the defendants there. And they basically give you the rundown of what the case is. Like, here's what the trial's about. Let me read the indictment. The judge read the indictment, and it took about an hour. There's several charges. It took a long time.
Oh, wow.
To go over everything in detail. And then they divided us up into groups. Like, okay, this is panel one, panel two, panel three. Panel two and three, you can leave and come back later today. Panel one, we're going to talk to you right now. So I'm panel one. There's like 20 of us in panel one. And then they just go down the line. And then it was like the first day of school. They're like, okay, so stand up and tell us your name and a little bit about yourself, where you work.
I hate that. I never know what to say about myself.
I know. It's really, really uncomfortable. I have this, like panic attack where I'm like, oh, it's like the first day of high school all over again. I hope they like me.
This is where you tell your Jeopardy story.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is just basically people saying what they do. It's like, hey,
my name is Brian, and I do it.
And my favorite color is red, and I am a bear. You have to pick an animal.
Yeah. You had a little ice-breaking exercise among the jurors.
Yeah. You had to, you say your name, and then you have to say an animal that represents you that starts as the same first letter as your name.
And then you have to do what the last person said and what you said, and it gets harder and harder as it goes, and you end up being the last guy, mm-hmm. and it's not yep. fair because the first guy only had to do himself, and it was really easy. And then you look bad because you missed it all, and someone already took the good, like, took bear for you, so you have to be mm-hmm. something like bunny.
Or barracuda.
Oh, I didn't think of
which is actually way better.
Well, a bear would still probably eat one barracuda.
Mm, right.
A barracuda.
Ah. And then we played telephone, and it started on one side, then went through the jury, and then it got to the end, and it was completely different.
And you got paid for this.
And then that was submitted as evidence. It's
wow,
really weird.
That was evidence.
That was evidence.
That sounds cool.
No, it was basically standing up like, hey, my name is Max, Max Smith. I'm an engineer. And then they sit down. So everybody goes down. They're like, okay. And then people are taking notes. Like, both attorneys are taking notes at this point. So you're being judged already. Like, okay, this guy.
Like, oh, well. Okay. We don't want that engineer because this guy was an engineer. Maybe sympathetic to engineers.
Uh-huh, exactly. That kind of thing. Like, that's that weird type of thing. And then both attorneys go down the line and take turns, like, questioning people one by one, asking weird questions, like, that kind of pertain to the case, but maybe they don't. It's like, okay, does anybody here raise your hand if you hate cops? Does anybody hate cops?
That'd be an awkward question. Did anyone raise their hand at that?
No, nobody hates cops.
Why would you do that while in a courtroom?
You know, okay, if you hate cops, you get to leave, I guess.
But yeah, even if you did, I don't think you'd be honest about that.
Does anybody love cops? Like you take a police. Has anybody had like a really good experience with a police officer? And nobody raised their hand either. So everybody's very neutral on law enforcement. Like, okay, all right. Has anybody ever had anyone arrested in their family in something involving drugs? And then people raise their hand, and then you go down this whole thing. And then they start questioning you one by one. It's like, okay, so you said you worked here. How long have you been there? This long. It's like, okay, very good. And how long have you lived here in this county? It's like, I've lived here for 24 years. It's like, so your whole life? It's like, well, I moved here when I was 3. If you want to be technical, I can give you a date, but that's my whole thing.
Did you go, actually?
No, I did. I should have. That would have been really...
You're like, why are you doing a voice?
It would have been really endearing. And, like, one of their questions was, like, what kind of TV shows do you? Does anybody here watch shows about lawyers or police officers? And then everybody raises their hands, because that's every show ever.
Yeah. Like, I watched that one episode of Community that was like Law and Order.
The Law and Order one. And then they're like, okay. And then they're talking to me and say, okay, what do you do? What do you do for fun? Like, what are your hobbies? I'm like, oh, no. Oh, I'm panicking. What do I do? What do I do for fun? Don't mention the podcast. Don't mention the podcast. Because if they find out I'm the media, then I can't be a juror, right?
Is that how that works? Yeah, this is definitely the media.
It's the only media I consume.
Is this podcast?
Yeah.
Don't watch any TVs or movies or comic books or games.
Nope, this is it.
The one that we record.
Yeah, because we cover everything. It's your one-stop shop.
That's true.
But I was like, I like to go to the movies with friends or maybe concerts. And then I'm panicking in my mind, like, say something. Don't say something outdoorsy. I'm like, I enjoy fishing.
Why would you feel the need to say something outdoorsy, though?
I didn't want them to judge me. I didn't want them to think I was like
a judge.
An indoor person. This wasn't the judge. These are attorneys.
Okay. There's a lot to judge you a little bit.
And I do like fishing. That's not a lie. I don't do it all the time, but it's something I do enjoy doing.
Okay.
And they're like, okay, so you raised your hand when you were talking about TV shows. So tell us, what kind of TV shows do you like? I'm like, okay, like just you're talking about like shows about law enforcement or general. It's like, start there.
Well, on Friends, didn't Phoebe date that cop that one time?
Yeah, played by Michael Rapaport. Was Michael Rapaport here?
Because he's a cop and everything.
Yep. He's always a cop, except Justified, in which he played a criminal against type.
Oh, that was nice.
Yep. But I said, sure. I really like Justified and Better Call Saul. Those are pretty much the two pertinent shows to talk about here. And she's like, okay, all right. So Better Call Saul, does that mean you watched Breaking Bad? I said, I did watch Breaking Bad, but I honestly feel like Better Call Saul is a much better show. He's a better character. It's a lot more interesting. She's like, okay, all right. And I looked at the court stenographer to make sure she was writing it down. I was like, ha, yes. Now there's official government record of me saying that Better Call Saul is a better show than Breaking Bad.
You should have asked her to read back the transcript.
Can you read that back?
Just to make sure it's in there. Maybe you can get a copy of it and frame it on your wall.
So that's exciting. I'm glad there's just official court record of that now. So hopefully, Vince Gilligan, please, you know, don't let the show go downhill, because then I'll really have egg on my face.
Oh, I hate when egg's on my face. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen very often.
But that was pretty much, you know, in terms of questioning, that was about it for me, anyway. Some people had a lot more questions, like, you said you've got druggies in your family. Tell us about that. But I was clean. And I suspect, see, I don't know, because that's really the only detail I went into. I suspect that I did get selected for the jury, and I think it might be partially due to my voice.
Why like, would that have to do with anything?
Because they're like, this guy has got a good voice.
I don't know if that's how juries work.
No, it's totally how it works. Because I give off a surprisingly good first impression just based on my voice. People are like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. Here, did you hear him say
and
that?
Then
sounds
they
great.
Meet you.
Oh yeah, no, it wears off almost immediately. Like, it doesn't. Anybody that's talked to me for more than 5 minutes, they're like, okay, I was wrong.
What about me?
You know the truth about me.
Do I?
You do.
Maybe you have secret truths.
No, I just have my one truth.
I don't know it.
It's a pretty neat trick, really, honestly, because I was, like, talking to this girl at my work. She's like, oh, I'm new. And I'm like, oh, cool, you're going to school to be a teacher. That's real interesting. We're talking about that. She's like, what about you? Where'd you go to college? I'm like, I didn't. No college. She's like, well, I just talking to you, I would have assumed you'd go to college. I'm like, no, you're right. It's just, I don't know why we'd assume that, but thank you. It's very deceptive that you would think that. I'm just not very well educated at all, but sure. And then I start talking about how much I love Furious 7. She's like, ah, gotcha. There it is.
Oh.
No, dude, just joking. I don't want to, you know, Furious, it's fun popcorn. She was also way into Furious 7, so.
Oh, well, that's cool then.
Yeah. She loved Paul Walker.
Yeah.
And I talked about how sad it was, and I cried at the end. Not talking to her. No. I was like, oh, man, it's so sad.
You cried at the end. You shed a tear. That's what I thought you meant.
No. But I don't know. See, I suspect that maybe the voice is part of it, but also the fact that I watched Breaking Bad, I feel like that was a factor. It seemed very important to them that I watched Breaking Bad. I think it means that they expect me to be either more or less sympathetic to a certain type of person accused for a certain type of crime.
That's what I was going to say, because you could go either way for both sides. Like, oh, yeah, we think he's going to be against all of this. And they're like, nah, he's a pretty cool guy in the show. He's going to be for it.
Yeah, I love the part where he made all the drugs. Yeah.
You should have said that.
No. Yeah, I would have loved, if they wanted to talk to me, like, in-depth about my opinions on Breaking Bad, I would have went off. I'm like, and here's the problem with the final season, is,
You should have just kept just going, like, then, anyway.
15-minute rant about Breaking Bad. I feel like Walt didn't really pay his debt to society at the end. Speaking of Breaking Bad and the harsh language, I half jokingly suggested to you that we pull off like a Breaking Bad style magnet heist, and we just go around destroying everybody's copy of the podcast.
We could do that.
Yeah, it's too late.
To the Philippines. Well, she already heard. We have to destroy her memory too. And I don't want to destroy Anne's memory. That doesn't sound like a good thing.
No, it sounds very very negative. So
right in, Anne. If you want us to destroy your memory.
She probably doesn't, but I'll wait. I'll wait and hear it out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway, after they questioned every panel, they brought us all back in. Like, okay, these are our 12 jurors. Actually, that wasn't. I'm skipping a very crucial part. It is what I don't quite understand about the jury selection process. I should look into. Is they spent time with like a bailiff, walking to each attorney with like a notepad, and they like write something down, and then they go to the other one, and the other one like writes it down, and they take it to the judge, and the judge looks at it and nods.
I think it might have been like, these are the juries or jurors that we approve of. These are the ones we approve of. The judge is like,
and
yeah,
it's like I veto that. Yeah, that's the impression I got. But it took a long time. You're just picking 12 people, but he made this trip several times.
Yeah, they couldn't decide. But, like, no, I want that one.
So I was like, again, like it was like another school flashback. It reminded me of like being picked for dodgeball. I'm like, oh man, I hope they pick me. I don't want to be picked last though.
What number were you picked?
I was like the third person called.
Oh, nice. They were both pretty sure about you.
Yeah, I want to know if like one of them like who which one picked me? Was it the state or was it the defendant? It's,
Maybe you are on both people's lists.
they're like, yeah, that guy seems cool. Did you hear his voice?
Yeah, he's
Sounds rad.
awesome. He likes Breaking Bad.
But he thinks Better Call Saul's better.
That's true. It is called Better. And his next show will be Best Badger.
Yep, Best Badger coming summer 2020.
Don't know what it's about. Just Badger hanging out with Skinny Pete talking about Star Trek fanfic.
Yeah, hey man, I would watch every episode of that, no doubt.
Well, do you have any more story?
That's all I can really talk about
It'll
right
have to
now
wait
until
the
the
rest,
case
I
is over.
guess.
But and then they call the 12 of us and we do a lot of sitting around, but not talking about the case because that's against the rules.
Just talking about Batman.
No, I don't talk about Batman at all. I keep quiet. I'm the quiet juror. That's my role.
Are any of them
We
the
got,
rural one?
you know, if we had to pick, I think I'd probably qualify as the most rural juror.
Oh, okay. Any urban jurors?
Well, all the other jurors are way more interesting than me. I'm like the boring jurors. Like I've lived here forever, and I don't do anything.
Is that what you said?
That's why. Like after answering all the questions, that's the impression I feel like I gave off.
Okay.
But everybody else is like, and then I lived in Alaska for 5 years wrestling bears, and then I went to Pennsylvania and I got a degree in this and that, and I'm just like, yeah, it's okay. So I'm the hometown juror. I'm like looking around trying to assign people different characteristics. Like here's our this is the old man juror. We got
This
an old man
one's
juror.
Jeff Winger. This one's Annie.
Yeah, we're like a real community
Of jurors.
of jurors. It's like, this is the talky juror. He just loves talking. He's the funny guy.
Oh, wait.
Looking around, I'm like, I'm the young juror. That's my thing. I'm the youngest juror here. I'm the young punk.
Young juror.
So we haven't picked a foreman yet, but when the time comes, I'm gonna say, I volunteer as tribute. I elect myself king foreman. I'm the
King.
king juror.
Oh, you should do that.
No.
I want to know what it's like to be a juror king.
No, I don't want that kind of responsibilities too much.
But you get to say stuff out loud in front of the defendant, and then he'll punch you if it's guilty. He'll probably run across the room and try to like attack you over the juror wall.
Yep, there's a juror wall. You've been in a courtroom, I can tell.
I have. I've been in old ones too. Not really old,
Nice.
more like where the hanging judge sentenced people to hang.
Oh yeah, I drove by that spot.
You did. Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm actually everybody else is bummed to be there, but I'm actually really excited. So I'm keeping to myself. They're like, "Oh man, I hope the case is over now." I'm like, "Yeah, no, I'm really fascinated in the whole process. I'm enjoying it." So we're male to female ratio, 7 females, 5 males on the jury.
Yeah, I think what I've heard on crime shows before is that females can be more sympathetic. So they
Okay.
want them a lot, but also they could not be. So it doesn't really make sense either way.
It's weird, yeah. Here,
They have
yeah,
different
they're
statistical datas.
like they're profiling potential jurors.
Yeah.
I just, I'm, I so I'm like driving myself crazy trying to figure out like what was it about me? Why was I
Probably Breaking
so
Bad.
special? It was the Breaking Bad thing,
I'm
right?
pretty sure it's Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. So
But
you
I
could
can't
either be
tell.
sympathetic or against either way.
But it could go either way. It's like this
Yeah.
guy probably has strong opinions on something.
That's why they could agree on you, because it could go either way. So let's just hope it goes towards ours.
The defense attorney is the one that asked me, and she's like, "Oh, Breaking Bad's," and I was like, "Yeah, I think it's a better show." And she's like, "Oh, I've only seen the first couple." I'm like, "Well, you should really catch up. It's worth watching."
Like, I think it's a better show. People who make drugs are garbage.
Yeah, he puts him away. Ha
Yeah, you would not be picked for that.
Okay, so I don't know which one picked me, but apparently I have strong opinions on something, either one way or the other.
Yes, yeah, that sounds about it.
But I'm offended because they do know that that's entertainment. This is reality, right? I'm not going to let that influence like my judgment. I'm
Well, a lot of
listening to the
people are.
evidence.
After CSI, there was a big surge in people going into forensic pathology.
yeah,
in schools. That's just how it works. So they're like, oh, you might be really sympathetic against them, even though you shouldn't be sympathetic for Walt in most cases.
He's a terrible person. That's the point of the show.
He does, yeah.
It's about his moral decay through choice, not through circumstance. He would argue with circumstance, but he does it himself.
There are times that happen where you see, no, it's not because of that, because he could have stopped all this.
And then it kind of culminates in that beautiful scene in the finale that I won't talk about because it's a spoiler.
The one where he breakdances and saves the city school.
He breakdances and saves the community center.
Yeah.
from the evil land developer.
Yeah, that's what he did. Watch it and find out if you haven't. Most of you probably have seen it.
You know exactly the breakdance scene we're talking about. Breaking Bad 2 Electric Boogaloo. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
There's the title of that movie. That's it. That's all my jury stuff I have to talk about. Updates as they're available.
All right, and next up.
And I just have to sit there, and I'm the young guy, and everyone else has a family. They're like, oh, my kids and grandkids. And I just have to feign interest. Like, oh, wow, family.
Is that what you do? so you're like the John Bender of the group.
Who?
Breakfast
Club.
Oh,
right. I was thinking about, like, the robot from Futurama.
His first name is John. And he was named and based off of him.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, I think it's what I read. That's why he's called Bender.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah, John the Robot.
No, yeah, and to be clear, I have no problem hearing people talk about their family. It's interesting. It's just very overwhelming when that's all that happens for hours at a time.
That's why you start talking about Batman. Hey, anybody Batman? And then no one will raise their hand.
Hey, guys. I don't know about you, but I knew even though I had to be back at court early this morning, I picked up that new Batman game at midnight. Anybody else? This guy knows what I'm talking about.
And crickets.
Yeah, I was, to be fair, like, I felt like I had a secret identity because I'm in the courtroom with, like, my dress slacks and my button-up shirt and tie. I overdressed. I was, like, the best-dressed juror. I looked good. But I had a Batman t-shirt on underneath it.
What?
So, like, they don't know.
Oh, is that for when the bat signal shines off? You'll rip off the suit and just wear the bat logo and glide off.
Yeah, take the glasses off, and then people don't recognize that I'm Batman.
Exactly. He just wears a bat t-shirt underneath. His Bruce Wayne suit.
Exactly. You know.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert. He's Bruce Wayne. I'll cut that out.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break and then pick it up in a little bit of feedback. Ben, you know what I love more than anything else in the world?
Pancakes?
Pancakes. But in a close second, free podcast. I feel like podcasting should be free. You should be able to download it without paying any kind of premium charge. It should be traded freely amongst the listeners. I feel very strongly about that.
I agree, Brian, but podcasting has some really huge costs. How would we cover that?
Well, it's not easy. We do what we can on our own, but occasionally we need some financial support from an outside company. And that's why I'm here today to tell you that today's program is brought to you thanks to the folks at Readable Audio. I know what you're saying. Readable Audio, they've already supported the show before in the past with their transcripts of audiobooks. And that's true. It's a great service. I use it all the time myself. And then they reinvented the wheel, man. They took these transcripts of audiobooks and then they had somebody narrate them. So you had audio versions of transcripts of audiobooks. Brilliant. There's nowhere to go from there. They've covered every single possibility. What would you do? It would make no sense to try to further to further push that premise anywhere else. You would say some kind of idiot would try to spin that out even further. But the people at Readable Audio, they say no, sir, no. They've got a new product, and they're paying me a lot of money to tell you about it today. Their new line of edible readables.
Edible readables? What's that?
All right, edible readables. They're books. They're physical books that you're sent in the mail. It's retro, man. It's old school cool. People like physical books. They're all the rage now. That's all the kids read.
I know I do.
But you need a twist. You can't, this old man technology. You need to kind of spice it up a little bit. And that's why they've pushed it in a whole new direction. These are books in which you read a page. When you're done with the page, you tear it out and you eat it. That's right. Flavored consumable books.
That sounds delicious. What flavors are there?
Well, they suggest that people that listen to HappyCast might enjoy some of these fine titles. You've got Where the Red Vines Grow, Artichoke Hearts of Darkness, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Scone, Big Mac Beth, 50 Shades of Grape, To Kill a Mockingbird, and What About Breakfast at Tiffany's?
What about it?
I think I remember the film. But this is not the film. This is the book, for the first time available in an edible format. So head over to readableaudio.com, click on the Edible Readables tab, and type in the promo code HAPPYCAST for 3% off your first purchase. And now, back to the show. Listener feedback. If you'd like to contact the show, we encourage you to do so. Our contact info is email us at happycastfeedback@gmail.com. Those wrote us at happycastfeedback@gmail.com. Give us a call. Our phone number is 77-HAPPY-NUN. That would be 77-HAPPY-NUN. Follow us on Twitter at HappyCast. Like us on Facebook. Check us out on the Instagrams. And I think that's it. That's all the contact info.
It sounds like it. We have a bunch. You can call me personally.
Call Ben. His actual cell phone number is...
770-EYELANE.
Wait, what? No, that's not it. Ben's actual phone number, 479-555.
5555.
KL5. That's actually a weird Happy Days thing that happened in the last episode I saw. It's like somebody's helping Fonzie. He's like, Fonzie, you told me if I helped you move this birdhouse, you'd give me the number to a hot lady. It's young Christopher Walken. Not really. But he's like, hey, okay, I'll give you the first three numbers. It's KL5. He's like, KL5? Oh, man, that sounds like a good one. Oh, it's a KL5. So dumb.
Yeah.
Fonzie, you're giving me a fake number here. Anyway, do we have any feedback this week? I think
we got some tweets.
What? All right, cool.
We got us some tweets. I'll have to look at these tweets. But
Twitter feed. What do the listeners have to say about Twitter feeds? I mean, HappyCast is like a Twitter feed, but for your ears and not your eyes.
That makes sense. All right, so we got some tweets from some people.
Okay, you want to go first? Should I go first?
How is there a first?
I mean, we're just reading tweets, right?
Oh, you start first, so I know where to start.
All right, so first tweet came from Ms. Fizzbiz about the Great Mug Crisis. She wanted to know if you've tried any of those things where you make a brownie or other dessert in a mug.
I have not, but I need to. Looks like listener Anne endorsed them, the brownie mugs.
Yep.
Mug brownies.
Brownie mugs are endorsed.
Let's see. Fizzbiz also thinks that Jess is more Fonz than Dean on Gilmore Girls, but maybe it's just a hair and leather jacket. Hashtag happy Gilmore Girls days.
really tickles me. I got more of a kick out of that than I should have. But yeah, excellent point. Yeah, Jess is way more of a Fonz than Dean. Dean... seems like a genuinely nice guy.
Jess is not. Jess. Also, Fizzbiz played MASH in elementary and middle school. I told you so, Brian.
And I guess I didn't hang out with the cool kids. I didn't know about this MASH.
Well, or more often girls than guys play it.
I didn't hang out with the cool kids.
And she was going to marry Jonathan Taylor Thomas and live in a mansion. And also, that Legend of Sleepy Hollow could count as a negative legend.
Good point. Excellent point. Didn't think about that. Listener Ann was going to get on to you about having old news for a new segment, and I then started swearing like a sailor, played by Samuel L. Jackson, in which, again, I do apologize.
secondary school is high school. Didn't know that. There you go.
We know that now. We actually have, Neil Orange Peel, Neil deGrasse Orange Peel Tyson. He agreed with your recommendation. he backed up your recommendation of Hot Fuzz, and listener Ann is the third person to say check it out.
So everybody dug it.
I'll have to do it eventually.
You should. Listener Ann also says that they do not pledge a Texan flag, or American, or Filipino.
She says that they didn't play MASH at school, but she learned about it from kids at church.
I told you it exists.
And she also says that she likes how Ben is sounding all vague about MASH, like he didn't constantly play it when he was 13.
I did not. I was around when it was played once, and I've known about it ever since.
Okay. She had a Texan roommate in college, and she's on her way to visit, and will ask about the pledging the Texas flag and report back. So I am looking forward to hearing that. I need to know, is that a thing? Why would you fabricate such a weird detail for your movie?
Maybe it's that one school. I don't know.
Perhaps.
And then, yeah, Robo1510 says to plant a mug in the backyard and grow a mug tree.
Good idea.
And will school. Do. Infants is 5 to 7 years. Juniors 8 to 12. And secondary is 13 to 18. Did not know that.
I didn't know 5 to 7 is considered infants in certain places.
I did not either.
It's a pretty old infant.
And inheritance is a better word than bequeathments.
Inheritance would have been a better choice, but bequeathment technically works.
Yeah, they are both okay. I looked up all those words that we thought up. I think they were all words.
Everything was a word, even words that we insisted were made up.
Well, a lot of them said they were at least archaic words.
Okay.
So, but you can still use them.
Yes, very good. So that does it for feedback this week. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to write in or tweet at us. And,
yes, thank you all.
That's it. That's it for the show. You have to tell me more about this MASH thing off mic. I need to know what it is.
I'm not even totally clear on it. We should have Fizbiz on and ask her sometime, because she'll know.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it seems like a good excuse to have her back on the show anyway. It's been
just
too
to explain
long.
MASH.
Well, you know, who knows what the future holds. Anyway, that concludes the podcast. I would like to personally thank everyone for...
Individually,
I would like to thank everyone for listening. Starting in alphabetical order, there's Arthur Fonzarelli, big fan of the show. Thank you for checking it out. I'm going alphabetical by first name.
Okay,
as
first
is tradition.
Name. I am still earlier than you either way.
That's true. Yeah, you win. You win in all alphabetical challenges.
I'm better alphabetically than you. Ha ha.
Oh, shucks.
Anyway, goodbye, everybody.
Anyway. Yep, that concludes this week's show. We hope to catch you next week. Until then, remember, keep happy. Hey, you wanted to see me, Mr. Slade?
Yes, Brian. It's about hashtag Sweargate.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if you heard. I made a statement at the beginning of the show. I'm very sorry. It was unprofessional. It'll never happen again. I know I let a lot of people down, including the little Brian and Maniacs that look up to me and want to be future podcasters. It goes against everything the show stands for, and I can promise you it will never happen again if you give me just one more chance.
I've already given you a second chance with the whole spew debacle, but I suppose I can give you a second chance. But first, your punishment. Report back here in 1 week for sensitivity training.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. You will not be let down.
I will.